papers in the room.
I do also.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. I apologise for the slight delay. I now declare the council meeting for the Shire of Denmark on the 31st of March 2026 open. I would like to acknowledge there are traditional owners of the land of which we are meeting, and for all the past, present and emerging elders from those nations. We have no absences today. Councillor Phillips is in attendance. We have item three, a number of declarations of interests. I will now pass over to the CEO to read them out.
Thank you. So the first one is from Councillor Phillips on agenda item 9.1.1, local development plan, lot 3, South Coast Highway. The second one is from Councillor Sleeman on item 9.1.2, local development plan, lot 349, and that's a financial interest. Another one from Kelly Jenkins, the Executive Manager of Corporate Services, on item 9.1.2, which is a proximity interest. And a last one from Councillor Sleeman on 9.3.6, public open space rationalisation, and that's a financial interest. And I'll read those out again in full before each item is debated.
Thank you. Item four, I have no particular announcements today. Item five, public question time. We have nil responses to previous public questions taken on notice. So item 5.2, public questions. In accordance with section 5.24 of the Local Government Act 1995, Council conducts a public question time to enable members of the public to address or ask questions of Council. The procedure for public question time can be found on the wall at the entrance of the Council Chambers or can be downloaded from our website. I'll shortly ask for questions of the public. In accordance with clause 3.2, number 2 and 3 of the Shire of Denmark Standing Orders, local law, a second public question time will be held if required, and the meeting is not concluded prior to 6 p.m. For note, those wishing to address the council in public question time, that this council meeting is recorded. There is 5 minute time limit, and please be respectful in your asking of questions and mannerisms. Thank you. Can I ask if there are any questions from the public gallery? Yes, if you can stand up and firstly state your name, and then you may ask.
My name is Barry Pittam. I would like to talk about questions regarding the mouldy old frail age lodge. Was that actually stated here? Was that called the frail age, the mouldy old frail age lodge? It's just been reported in the bulletin that that's what's been stated here. Is that correct?
Your question.
The frail age lodge, the original frail age lodge next to the old hospital, there's been a statement in the local bulletin said that it was called the mouldy old frail age lodge.
To answer that question, I don't recall, as far as I'm aware, in this meeting. It's always been actually referred to as the current Denmark Arts Building.
Right, so that was misquoted?
Yes, I would believe so. And the councillors wish to correct me on that? No.
Right, fair enough. No. I'd just like to talk about that building and how much volunteer work went into raising money for that building. And it's been suggested that maybe it should be demolished. Is that correct? Again, this is from this statement in the bulletin.
So the resolution of council is so far that we are moving Denmark Arts is to move it out of there, and that then council look at disposing of that building. That disposing of is a slightly misleading term. It does not automatically mean destroying. It means looking what to do that with that as a council asset.
Right, thank you. Yes, yeah, just that I had a vested interest in this as my mum was one of the volunteers that raised a lot of money for that building. Also, with the lack of maintenance, whose responsibility is it to see that maintenance is carried out?
Yeah, I'll pass on to CEO for a second.
So the building is currently leased to Denmark Arts, and so as a result of that lease, there's a various responsibilities on both the Shire of Denmark and Denmark Arts. The Shire of Denmark are typically responsible for a lease like that for major structural repairs or replacements, whilst the Denmark Arts are typically responsible for internal maintenance, things like painting of the walls and things like that.
Right. As far as I understand, the roof and the guttering is a major issue, and the water has gone inside the building. What I'm trying to get at is who's responsible for that. Obviously, it's in an area that is surrounded by trees and shrubs, and the gutters would have had to be cleaned on a regular basis. I would imagine that lack of maintenance has caused this.
If you read the council report from that meeting, which was January, where that one came up, you'll read the structural defects and the reasons caused by that, which was actually a major modification done 10 to 15 years ago in turning this multiple buildings into one. That's fundamentally caused the long-term damage to that and ongoing issues with that building.
Right, fair enough. Yep. No, I haven't read that. Yeah, no, I was just concerned that this building, although it's not a classic building, it's just an average building, and it's part of Denmark's history. It's part of the volunteers of the community that raised a lot of money for that, and it was built in such a way to be sustainable, clad in brick. And, I think it would be a sad thing for it to see it go and not used to its full potential. That's all I'd like to say. Thanks for your time.
Thank you very much.
Cheers.
Are there any other questions from the public gallery? Yes, sir.
Good evening. My name is Mike Chambers, and I'd like to make some comments on issue 934. Advice to WALGA, re local government election frequency and vote obligations. The Office of Recommendation is that the Shire supports WALGA's no change option. Under background and discussion points 4 to 15, most are positive of the state government's electoral reform and against the WALGA recommendation. Only possible marginal cost increases are against the state government's reform. So why does 934 support WALGA's anti-change policy? Just because other councils don't want to change is not a rational reason. Each shire has a separate view. It's not that WALGA's position has merit. It is that reform opens up local government to compulsory voting on a fixed four-year term. It looks like the Shire is just following everybody else rather than considering the proposed reform as a legitimate advancement in local elections. There is no sound reason under 934 to accept the recommendation. All other state local governments use full spill elections on a four-yearly term. Only South Australia, it's not a compulsory vote. There's only WA that doesn't. I wonder why. States with compulsory voting get over 80% turnout for local elections. In 2025, Denmark voter turnout was a massive 46%. In the prior 3 years, the average turnout was 30%. In local government elections, candidates have to achieve enough votes to fill a quota. I'm sure you all know that. These can be from primary votes or from the distribution of excess primary votes or from eliminated candidates. Now, for example, this system allowed a candidate with only 182 primary votes to be elected from preferential distribution, and that is on a 46% turnout. The 225 quota was 506 votes. A quota is the total votes cast by the number of vacancies plus one in general. The elections were held, if elections were held every 4 years, a full spill, and I think in this council it's 9 positions, it is likely that the quota would be less than 506. That is less than the current quota. So what is it that is making you people support the Walga No Change? The only documented downside is a possible cost increase. Whoa. If this is why you support the Walga's position, then I would suggest that councillors do not know the value of democratic representation, only the cost. To support a no-change recommendation is to devalue the legitimacy as representatives of all ratepayers. 4 years is enough time to fulfil ratepayer expectations. A full spill every 4 years gives electors an opportunity to elect new candidates who will address ratepayer issues. That's what you're here for. Even with a four-year full spill, 50% of sitting councillors are returned. And that's in the states that have full spill with compulsory voting. There is no sound reason under 934 to support Walga's regressive position. In conclusion, the proposed recommendation is a short-sighted do-nothing option that degrades local council authority. The alternative is a legitimate democratic basis for ratepayer representation. Full spill and compulsory voting is successful in other states. Walga's position is to do nothing rather than grasping the opportunity for fair and participatory voting. Compulsory voting makes Australia the envy of most democratic nations. Reforms will include local government in fixed-term compulsory voting. Local government must reform or become irrelevant as a representative body. I would really ask you people to show some leadership and backbone and vote against the recommendation of 934. Thank you.
Thank you for your statement. Are there any other questions from the public gallery? Councillor Phillips has a question.
Mike?
Sorry, Councillor Phillips has a...
So I'd like to give comment to what Mr Travis has said from the councillor point of view.
We can't debate it because it
We're
is...
not debating.
It's an item on the agenda for debate tonight, but with that in mind, yes?
I would just say that 9 councillors and a number of officers did carefully consider that item.
I don't doubt. But everything, as I've just said, everything else in every other state goes against both officers' and councillors' considerations. Everything goes against it.
Yes, this...
It's a simple...
Yes, this...
I've made my point.
Thank you. Any other questions from the public at this time? No? All right, item 5.3, questions for which members have given, due notice have been given, we have Neil. And 5.4, we have no presentations, deputations or petitions tonight. Item 6, applications for future leave. Councillor Davenport.
Could I get from the 13th of April through to the 22nd of April, please?
All those in favour? That is passed unanimously. Councillor Sleeman.
Can I get the 4th to the 19th of July, please? School holidays.
Is there a mover for Councillor Sleeman's leave? Councillor Yule, second. Councillor Hockey, all those in favour? It's passed unanimously. And myself, I will request the 1st of October to the 25th of October. Is there a mover? Councillor Yule, seconded Councillor Sleeman. All those in favour of me? Passed unanimously. Any other applications for leave? All right, move on to item 7, confirmations of minutes. 7.1, the ordinary council meeting for the 24th of February 2026. Are there any questions to officers on this item? Yes, Councillor Lewis.
A correction, actually. Although my name appears as being on leave, I also appear to have voted on every item.
Are there any other questions to officers on this item? No, in which case, do I have a mover for the council's resolution item? Councillor Gibson, second. Councillor Campbell, do you wish to speak? Anyone wish to speak against? No. Then all those in favour accepting the council's resolution minutes? It's passed unanimously. We will now move on. Item 8, there are Neil elected members' motions for which previous notice has been given. We will move on to item 9, officers' reports. 9.1, I will pass the CEO to read the declaration of interest.
Thank you. So this item, Councillor Phillips has declared a financial interest as a family relative is the proponent, and Councillor Phillips has elected to leave the room for the item.
Okay, are there any questions to officers on item 9.1.1? Councillor Sleeman.
Just a couple of questions. The first is that throughout the submissions, there was a lot of concern about traffic and turning in from the highway. And I noticed that it just says on there that the highway access is all managed by MRWA. How is this proposal different to the proposed location for the moving of the big IGA, how they want a roundabout, or they need a roundabout on the highway, and we can say that? Why can't we make terms on this one for that?
Through the chair. So I guess the fundamental difference between this one and that one is that the IGA development was a development application and this one is a local development plan. So the local development plan basically deals with matters within the lot, you know, size, location and aspects of that development. And the next stage in this process is for the proponent to apply for a development application for the specific elements that are contained within the local development plan. It's at that time that we would seek further Main Roads Western Australian comment on each stage of that development application, and if they deemed it necessary to require an intersection treatment or a road treatment on their road, then we would add that to the conditions of that development application. So in the case of the IGA development, Main Roads actually requested that we require a roundabout as a result of that DA, and so we added that in. So really, when it comes down to road treatments, Main Roads are the jurisdiction. We don't have any method of forcing them to put something in that we feel that we might want that they don't want. And so really the conditions on any future development application will be based around Main Roads comments.
Excellent. Thank you for clarifying that. I do have a couple more questions, though.
Continue.
The next one's in regards to the screening. A lot of the submissions had concerns about sufficient screening. I note a 10-metre wide buffer with trees planted at 10-metre intervals. Is there an Australian standard for how wide the buffer should be and how far apart the trees should be? It would seem that one line of trees 10 metres apart would provide insufficient screening from the highway.
Thank you, through the chair. We've requested that, no, I agree, 10 metres, single line of 10 metre white space trees is not going to do the job for visual screening. At the DA, at the development application stage, they'd be required to lodge a landscaping plan and would have to prove up that the density of planting, height, width, etc., does the job at state, so screens the development from the highway, neighbouring properties, etc.
Excellent. Thank you for clarifying that one. The next point that was raised throughout submissions was about dogs and dogs from that property going onto neighbouring properties. Is there have there been any complaints about that? And is there the possibility of putting in the LDP for more secure fencing, noting that the LDP just mentions rural style fencing?
It's a good question. In terms of responses to dog complaints, I'm aware that there has been one. There may have been more, but I'm aware of at least one. With regards to, I guess, more secure fencing, I guess from a planning perspective, the difference between a tourist-zoned site and a rural-zoned site with relation to dogs wouldn't be materially different in terms of the dog control, and so that's probably why we haven't recommended that change. I wonder if the manager of development services wanted to add anything.
Thank you. Just to elaborate on that, the need and nexus, so the proposed tourism uses don't give rise to the need for a dog fence. The dogs would be there if it's a farm or a tourism development, so it would be hard from my point of view, it would be hard to justify the fence linked to a development approval and a tourist development to deal with dogs that are there regardless. It's a separate matter. And having said that, there's nothing to stop council requiring that as part of the LDP, as loosely as the link is. And we could, if you felt strongly about it, upgrade that fencing between the existing house and the dog yard to the neighbouring block to 1.5 dog mesh or something. It's in council's hands. I'm just pointing out that the link between the tourism uses and the dogs is not there.
Yeah, I can appreciate the link not being there, but I can also appreciate we've had multiple submissions raising dogs as an issue, and I don't think it's something we can ignore. A further question in regards to lighting. A lot of submissions mention lighting and its effect on the amenity of the area. Is there a capacity to put lighting in the LDP, and what sort of lighting they're allowed to have?
Through the chair, definitely. Modification number 7 in the schedule of modifications requires that that external lighting is to low spill design consistent with dark sky principles and details to be provided at development application. So we sought to respond to that matter.
Excellent. Thank you. No further questions.
Thank you, Councillor Seaman. Any other questions on this item? No? In which case, do I have a mover for the officer's recommendation 9.1.1? Councillor Yule, the seconder. Councillor Davenport, do you wish to speak to the item?
No, nothing further to add. Just that I think at this stage, has been highlighted, the basis seem to be covered off and moving forward for the development application. I'll put a lot of faith that it will be a fairly rigorous process for the proponent, and neighbours or concerns will be absolutely considered to the utmost. Thank you.
Councillor Davenport.
I just think, you know, I read through all the comments as well. Obviously, you're always going to get comments from neighbours whenever you're building anything anywhere next to anybody, you know. So it's good that we're recognising all those at this process, and I believe that, you know, planning always here does a real thorough job and are easy to work with, so I'm sure this will be a smooth relationship moving forward.
All right, does any councillor wish to speak against this item? Councillor Slim.
So whilst I acknowledge that this is simply an LDP and not a DA, there have been multiple submissions with concerns, and there have been multiple submissions in favour of it as well. I don't think the LDP sufficiently addresses the concerns raised in the submissions, in particular around the screening, around parking, around the fences, and around the amenity of the region. And so I think those need to be addressed further before I would vote in favour of this one. So I'll be voting against it. Thank you.
All right. Does anyone else wish to speak for the item? Yes, Councillor Gibson.
Thank you, Mr. President. Yeah, look, I appreciate this has been a extended, somewhat contentious proposal from the start through the rezoning process now to this LDP process. I'm really pleased to see the buffer on the edge of the caravan parking area having been created, which originally wasn't looking like it was going to be there. I think that's a significant and important improvement. I suppose I want to acknowledge, I think the scale of this development is not inappropriate for the site, and certainly, you know, at a level that I think fits reasonably well within the area. I have concerns and did from the start about the road treatment, appreciating that it's not going to be resolved at this stage. Certainly anyone who's gone to Greens Pool through the summer knows that that intersection can be interesting at times, especially with people in towing vehicles. So I do hope that as this progresses, the Shire officers will take every opportunity to encourage Main Roads to consider it as a significant risk and ask them to ask for a treatment that is appropriate to that level of traffic that we see at the peak times. But overall, I think it represents a really good outcome for community and for the visitors that we have and become temporary residents of our Shire every year. So I'm very happy to support it.
Any further councillors wish to speak against the proposal? To the proposal? Yes, Councillor Lewis.
Thank you. I'd just speak to say that I think Councillor Sleeman's raised some, or asked questions on some issues that obviously are very important to members of our community, and whilst I will support this, if he chose to, he felt he could move any amendments that would tighten up this LDP, I'd welcome those too. But obviously that's up to Councillor Sleeman.
Thank you, Councillor Lewis. Does anyone else wish to speak against? Or to? Or wish to raise any amendments? No? Do you wish to close off your... Okay. In which case, we will take item 9.1.1 to the vote. All those in favour of the council's resolution officer's recommendation? That is all in favour. All those against? Councillor Sleeman. All right, that is carried. Item is carried 7-1. We will now move on to item, we'll wait for the CO and Councillor Phillips to return. So, Councillor Phillips, the item 9.1.1 was passed 7-1, for your information. We're now moving on to item 9.1.2, local development plan lot 349 and part of lot 4-9000, Kersley Road, Denmark. I'll let the CEO read out any declarations of interests.
Thank you. So the first one's from Councillor Sleeman, and that's a financial interest, as Councillor owns one of the blocks and therefore would be leaving the meeting for this item. And the second one from Kelly Jenkins, the Executive Manager of Corporate Services, and that's a proximity interest, as Mrs. Jenkins owns a property adjacent to the lot.
Okay, are there any questions to officers on this item? Councillor York.
Thank you. Just in relation to, bear with me, point 12, condition 16 requires the LDP to address in the column C, dual zoning on lots. Bear with me. I just wanted a little bit more detail, just a bit more of an explanation on this condition 16 part C. How and why are these lots have become dual zoned, and how does it make future development assessment impractical?
Thank you. The original subdivision pattern, when this land was originally zoned, it was a combination of special residential and residential R10, and the zoning was very specifically applied to a subdivision guide plan that had a subdivision pattern that's very different from the end result. So when the West Australian Planning Commission approved the current design and the current lot layout, we ended up with a number of lots that had two zonings, because the actual zoning line was quite haphazardly through the site. So it ended up numerous lots with two different zones. So it was really unclear as to how we'd go about assessing a house with two zones. So the LDP essentially smooths out and applies the residential R10 standard to virtually the whole subdivision, with the exception of the large lots on the western edge.
Councillor Lewis.
Thank you. I have two questions. One is, what struck me when looking at this plan was where the public open space is. Doesn't look like very central or very useful, so can the officer please expand on why that public open space is tucked away at the back of development where it is?
Thank you. The public open space, when the subdivision was originally approved by the West Australian Planning Commission, there was no public open space and a requirement to provide cash in lieu for open space. The developer contested that condition and eventually had the Planning Commission agree to 10% of the land being ceded as open space, and the spot that was agreed was running along the southern boundary. The only reason, well, staff had to accept the Planning Commission decision, but the spot there, the one concession to that is lot 350 immediately to the south is prime for subdivision, and we will marry the public open space out of lot 350 when it's created into that to create an accessible larger portion of open space for the area.
Thank you. And my other question, years ago when this came to council, there was an issue, an issue that couldn't be, I think, sorted with overshadowing, because the hill is so steep, the land is so steep there. Has the design change, has that overcome this? And can you perhaps just explain the overshadowing principles in the text? Thank you.
Thank you. The original subdivision layout that I alluded to earlier created a lot of lots that are orientated east-west running down the hill, which when you have the narrow portion of the block east-west and you've got a south-facing slope, means that each house gets significantly overshadowed by the one above. They've addressed that in the subdivision design by running their lots lengthwise north-south, which significantly helps overshadowing because you've got the longer length of the lot running with the shadow. And then when development applications come in on each site, the residential design codes have a standard where a maximum of 25% of the neighbouring block can be overshadowed. So there's some control applied at the time of development as well.
Thank you.
Are there any further questions to officers on this item? No? In which case, do I have a move of the officer's recommendation 9.2.1? Yep, Councillor Hogg, second, Councillor Lewis. Do you wish to speak to this item?
No.
Councillor Lewis? Does anyone wish to speak against this item? To this item? Or for this item or to this item? No? Do you wish to close debate?
All right, in which case we will take it, item 9.2.1 to the vote. All those in favour of the officer recommendation? That is unanimously 8-0. We will now wait for Councillor Sleeman to re-enter. Information, Councillor Sleeman, that that officer recommendation was passed 8-0. All right, we will now move on to Corporate Services 9.2, the payment of accounts for the period ending 31st of January 2026. Are there any questions to officers on this item? No. In which case, do I have a mover for the officer's recommendation? Councillor Gibson, seconder. Councillor Yule, do you wish to speak? Anyone wish to speak against this item? To this item? Or about this item? No, in which case, we'll take item 9.2.1 to the vote. All those in favour of the officer's recommendation? Please pass unanimously 9-0. Financial statements for the period ending 31st of January 2026. Are there any questions to officers on this item? Yes, Councillor Yule.
Line item EFT 43246, Jones Lang LaSalle, Victoria, the Chelsea side. It's not a massive amount. I just wanted some understanding in what relation this was to, please.
Sorry, that was...
My head one?
No, that was would have been in relation to 9.2.1. Councillor Yule.
Apologies.
I'm sure that you'll be able to get clarification maybe later on that item. Any further questions?
Yeah, apologies. That's just my mispreparation. I actually had three discrepancies I wanted to raise there, but nothing of massive concern. I can be followed up later. I'm happy with that.
Yes. Thank you. Put them in writing and they'll see clarification what they're for.
Thank you.
Any further questions on 9.2.2? No, in which case do I have a mover for the officer's recommendation? Councillor Gibson, second. Councillor Campbell, do you wish to speak to this item?
No.
Councillor Campbell, anyone wish to speak against, to, or about this item? No, in which case we'll take item 9.2.2 to a vote. All those in favour of the officer's recommendation? Is passed unanimously. All right, we will now move on to item 9.2.3, the budget review for 2025-26. Are there any questions to officers on this item? Councillor Gibson.
Thank you. Yes, to the manager. Since we first looked at this a couple of weeks ago in the briefing, obviously at the time I raised the rising cost of fuel as an issue. I'm just wondering if since then officers have had any opportunity to quantify the impact that might have, not only obviously on our fuel bill, but also the likely increased costs to our suppliers as well going forward.
In relation to the mid-year review, there is no impact for this financial year at this stage. We're actually underspent in our fuel, and we will certainly consider it when we build the 26-27 budget.
So you're not expecting any impact in between now and the end of June?
Nothing that would materially amend the budget, no.
Thank you.
Further questions to officers? No, in which case do I have a mover for item 9.2.3? Councillor Gibson, seconder. Councillor Hockey, do you wish to speak to the item?
No.
Councillor Hockey, does anyone wish to speak against the item, to the item, or about the item? No, in which case we'll take item 9.2.3. Do you wish to close your discussion? 9.2.3 to the vote. All those in favour of the officer recommendation? Those passed. Sorry, Claire, I couldn't.
No.
Yep. That is passed unanimously. Okay, we'll move on to item 9.2.4, payments of accounts for the period ending 28th of February 2026. Are there any questions to officers on this? Yes, Councillor Yule.
Hopefully I've got my preparation notes in line this time for these two queries. The first one I have is in relation to EFT 43379, Powley Electrical Repairs, Denmark High School Pump, $9,515. I'm assuming that this has something to do with the oval. Either way, is this not something that the Education Department can assist with? Thank you.
Through the Chair, that's in relation to remedial works to the bore that services both the Shire here, the oval, and a number of other items. We have an agreement with the state government and the Department of Education for cost share around maintenance for the oval, and so we would certainly look at it through that process.
Thank you. Just one more. In relation to EFT 43450, the Shack Building Company, the installation of the AFDRS at the visitor centre on golf course sites. I just wanted some clarification. Is that for the new bushfire digital warning signs?
Through the Chair, yes, that would be what that's for.
Thank you.
Yes, Councillor Sleeman.
It's in relation to EFT 43365, Denmark Liquid Salvage, $1,467.50. Seems like it's for, I'm guessing, pumping out the septics at Ocean Beach. How often are we having to pay this, and how far away are we from getting a septic system that's sufficient that we're not having to continually pump it out?
Through the Chair, so yes, correct, that's for pumping out of the septic system at the Ocean Beach site. In terms of do we need to continue to do that, we've temporarily reduced the shower use, and so we're not expecting that under normal circumstances we'll need to continue that service until we've found a better solution. In terms of when that solution is put before council, basically over the long weekend this Easter, we will be doing some flow rate measurements to establish what a peak flow rate would look like. Given some of the events on down there, it's certainly typically known as to be the peak water usage at that site for showers, and that information will inform a design and therefore a costing, and we'll bring that back to council once we've done it.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Further questions to officers? Yes, Councillor Wills.
Just on that item, is that the just the public amenity or is that for the surf club as well? And if so, is the surf club, do they contribute?
Through the chair, the surf club septic system is entirely separate and is not experiencing the same difficulties.
Any further questions on this item? In which case, do I have a mover for item 9.2.4? Councillor Lewis, seconder. Councillor Hockey, do you wish to speak to this item? Councillor Hockey, do I have anyone wish to speak against this item? To this item or about this item? Do you wish to close off debate? All right, then we'll take it to the vote. All those in favour of the officer's recommendation of 9.2.4 is passed unanimously. Moving on to item 9.2.5, financial statements for the period ending 28th of February 2026. Are there any questions to officers on this item? No. Is there anyone willing to move item 9.2.5? Councillor Phillips, second. Councillor Gibson, do you wish to speak? Anyone wish to speak against this item? To this item, about this item? Do you wish to close debate? All right, then I will take it to the vote. All those in favour of the officer's recommendation for 9.2.5 is passed unanimously. Moving on to item 9.3, 3.1, service recognition policy. Are there any questions to officers? Do you wish to make a statement?
So I'd just probably like to raise an amended officer recommendation. And it's basically to add in some additional words in part 1.1, in accordance with section 2.2 of the Local Government Act 1995 or the Local Government Inspector Regulations 2025. The reason that officers have put forward this amended recommendation that was highlighted by Councillor Hockey to me earlier in the week is that it does the current policy as it's written. If councillors are disqualified for any reason, then they don't get the recognition. Councillors can be disqualified for a number of reasons, some of which are quite benign and quite honourable, for example, being elected as a Member of Parliament. And so we've just clarified that disqualification is only as a result of a criminal or serious offence.
Any questions, officer, on the amended officer's recommendation? No. Do I have a mover for the amended officer's recommendation? Councillor Hockey, seconder. Councillor Yule, do you wish to speak to it? Anyone wish to speak against the amended officer recommendation? To or about? Do you wish to close the debate? All right, then we'll take it to the vote. All those in favour of item the amended officer's recommendation, item 9.3.1, is unanimous. Now moving on to 9.3.2, civics events policy. Are there any questions to officers on this item? No, in which case do I have a mover for item 9.3.2? Councillor Yule, seconder. Councillor Lewis, do you wish to speak to this? Councillor Lewis, anyone wish to speak against the officer recommendation? Two, four, do you wish to close? Yes, do you wish to? No? Still got a chance, Councillor Sleeman. You've got a minty in your mouth. All right, do you wish to close debate? All right, then all those in favour of the officer recommendation, 9.3.2, that is passed unanimously. We'll move on to item 9.3.3A, meeting framework policy. Are there any questions to officers on this item? Ms. Councillor Lewis.
Thank you. At point four in the report, it stated that councillors will receive standing invitations to participate, maintaining their involvement and input while clarifying operational responsibility under working groups. I just wanted to know, because this is something new, how and when will councillors be notified about those meetings? Have you thought that far through it?
I believe we have a calendar for councillors and we would add it to that.
And I'd just like to flag an amended, sorry, an alternate motion. Thank you.
Noted. Are there any other questions to officers on this item? All right. Would you like to move your amended... your alternate motion?
Yes, thank you. It's on the screen there, so... And I think councillors have been sent this.
Are there any questions to Councillor Lewis on this item? Yes.
Yep, I would like to possibly flag an amendment to this, just in the last section under administrative working groups. I feel that the last paragraph needs to be changed to read, the CEO is to advise councillors of any working groups and may invite councillors where there is a clear strategic or stakeholder value. The reasoning behind this is the wording is intended to preserve the separation between council's strategic governance role and the CEO's responsibility for administration and operations. It ensures councillor participation in administrative working groups occurs where it adds identifiable strategic community.
So what I need to do now is ask if Councillor Lewis would happily change her wording for that.
I would actually refer to the CEO because that wording is directly from the CEO's policy, their draft policy, so that was just really picked up and dropped in there directly from what the CEO had already recommended. So I asked the CEO for his opinion on that. If he's happy with that, I'm happy to do it also.
Through the chair, no issues with that. Thank you.
Okay.
In which case, I'm happy to add that rather than have to go through the process of an amendment to my amended motion.
Are you happy to write that, or is it already answered? Excellent. Any other questions or clarifications to Councillor Lewis about her alternate motion? I will ask. Give me a comment on it first. I will just ask staff for any comments or considerations.
Thank you. Only comment, I guess, that I would make in relation to this is the intent from officers' policy that is tabled was that if items were considerable enough to be dealt with by council, officers felt that should have been dealt with by all council. And the change here basically allows an option for councillors to not delegate that